Feel in winter, feel in spring. It's beautiful. And of course, during the Lunar New Year's, springtime. So anyway, you have a good time for the week, especially 10-day of prayer. The last 10 days has been quite busy for me trying to put our material in Vietnamese. You already have it in English, but we have to put on Vietnamese, and we pray many places. There's from our church, I think the English group, how many group you have? Pray, one online? The Vietnamese, there's two. I have one, two of them are on Zoom, another one, two of them in person. So our church alone probably have six, seven different group. And we don't only connect our church, I think other churches come as well. And so it's powerful. Those who join is very rewarding. It's a blessing for me. And even those I couldn't make to every group every night or morning, some group I have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, other group 6 a.m., other group is really late at night because of time zone. But as always, to see people who come in prayer and pray together. How are we going to end the 10-day of prayer today? How are we going to do that? We have plenty of seat up here. We have a Dylan, Tony, we have our friend right there. Come, join with me. You too, far, I cannot see you. Please come in. Step into the main body here. Come. Yeah, so only for those who nurture a little baby bear. I see Philip have to be there, that's fine. But Tony, you have no baby, you come up here. Okay, Tony, thank you. You know, it's rare for me to see everyone, church, especially the English side. When I get a chance, please, I want to see each one of you. How would I end 10 days of prayer? Why is 10 day? Is a number pull out from a head? Yeah? Can you tell me? I mean, can you talk with me? No, it's not. We want something what happened the early church had. Okay? After Jesus spent time with the disciple for 40 days, and Jesus said, wait until the Holy Spirit come upon you, then go out and witness. Okay, that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, how long did they wait from when the day Jesus left, go to heaven, until the Holy Spirit come upon them? How many days? Anyone take a wild guess? 10 days. I guess not a guess, right? We know for sure 10 days. Now, if we study prophecy very well, we know exactly the time when Jesus comes. The first fruit will come. And so 10 days, okay? After, so how many days? From the day of Passover until the Pentecost, which is that day, which is 50 days. So 50 subtract 40 is 10. So they spend 10 days. So God say that we need to spend similar 10 days before the Holy Spirit will come in the later rain. Okay, so that's why our denomination come up with 10 days of prayers. So we started Wednesday before that until yesterday and 10 days of prayer. What do we want to get out of it? Do we remember why this 10 days important to the early church? And if we do, we think about what does 10 days mean to us. It's called upon the Holy Spirit, called upon us. That's why this year the theme is seeking God's Spirit. Seeking God's Spirit. I want to share with you a thought here from the title. I want to share with you, go forward on your knees. In October 1887. And this is a letter, Merrick Diary, written by Rosalind Goforth. She and her husband took a call going to be a missionary from Canada to the new field in China. Remember, 1887 is a rough time. If you understand about missionary, today missionary is quite easy compared back then. There's nothing, no language or nothing. And so here it is. The Goforth family decided with a call from Canada go to China, and here they find their way to the province of Honan, H-O-A-N-A, in China. They arrived there, in January, and they go around to find a place and what it's like, and of course no missionary was there in March 1888, and they find it so difficult. The weather, the people, the how to live there, it's just tremendous. No, may no one at homeland understand how difficult was the missionary travel. And so Dr. Hudson Taylor, you probably know him, he's one of the famous of missiologists. And so he knows very well that the provinces that they went to is very hard place. And Dr. Taylor at China Inland Mission wrote to the Goforth a letter. We understand North Honan is to be your field. We as a mission have tried for 10 years to enter the province from the south and have only just succeed. It is the most anti-foreign provinces in China. Brother, if you would enter the province, you must go forward on your knees. Wow. Dr. Hudson Taylor is a missionary he knows very well. The mission field is very tough, very hard to enter into China and many other places. They will face persecution, they will face with climate change, they will face with so many problems, and little the people in the homeland understand what they went through. Even in Juwai say that we need to spend time on prayer for those missionaries. We need to send them money because they need so much going through. And so here it is. End of 10 days prayer, what do we learn? What I have learned about it. I want to share with you what I mean by go forward on your knee. As I experienced with 10 day prayer, I noticed that if we not on our knee to beg in God for blessing, we might not have the blessing. You see, how much do we seek God's Spirit? Do we seek very lightly? That means just pray one time on Sabbath and that's it? And assume that God will bless. And end of the prayer, you know, a lot of times we're going to say that, you know, not my will, but your will. Right? Do you do that? Not my will, but your will. And so if God does not answer prayer, that means we will follow God's will, not my will, not your will. But wondering why 100 times I pray in God's will, 99% of the time, it somehow fall on God's will and not my will. And somehow we are reluctant, we don't want to pray anymore because God did not answer my prayer. I believe that we have not seek God's Spirit when we pray. We not demand, I use demand quote, God, I really need you. Like Moses demand, God, if you don't forgive these hard-headed people in Israel who crossed the Red Sea, if you don't forgive them, take my name out of the book of life. He demanded to God to forgive his people. You understand what I'm talking about? So how much do we really seek God when we pray? I want to share with you some idea that I have in the past weeks. I believe we need to follow the instruction of Hudson Taylor is seek God on our knees. We can go forward if we don't pray. And many times we want to fight the battle, get a good grade, get a good job, have a great health, have a wonderful retirement. Somehow we use our own strength. And sometimes we ask, why? Why I did everything? I try to eat right, I try to exercise, and I still have health problem. I work so hard. I go early than come to work earlier than everyone and go home late than everyone, and I still got laid off. Why I study day and night and I couldn't get an A. So a lot of time we struggle with that and we just don't know, God, are you real or not? Is my prayer is reaching your ears or not? I plead with you this morning Maybe we learn some same example from the Bible, and God answers some of the prayer. But God asks, are you seeking for it? First text I want to share with you, open with me in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 40. The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 40. And here this Peter, he going everywhere, tried to share the gospel, heal the sick. He do everything to get the word out. There's something happened in Acts chapter 9. And the key text is verse 40. But I want to go a little bit before that. This was the place that Joppa, where the disciple, a certain disciple, the lady named Tabitha, and translated Dorcas. And so she go around to help many poor people, many widows. And he got sick, she got sick, and she died. And here she find out Peter's in town. They beg Peter come to pray. Now, the lady already dead. I don't know how many days. And her first verse 40 say, but Peter say to them, put them out. Say, hey, you know what? Why do you guys leave? I want to spend time with God before I touch this lady. And so here Peter say, could you leave the room? And Peter went, kneeled down and prayed. Now you think he just prayed, Lord, the lady is sick. I don't know. I mean, died for so long. And, you know, if you will, you bring her back to life. If not, that's fine. You know, I can leave. Do you think so? No. This lady is so crucial into the mission work of many people in the early church. She's just like the front end to go help the poor. Heal, and Peter come along, heal the sick. And Peter tried to do everything to ask God, plead with God to give life back to this lady so she continue her mission work. Verse 40 continue. And Peter turning to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And then she opened her eyes, and then she saw Peter, and she sat up. Oh my. Now Peter have healed many people that get sick, but never resurrect the dead. What did he do? He kneeled down and pleaded to God. Notice with me, the word kneel down is so important. And I want to take with you several Bible texts is so important to the Christian life if we don't kneel in prayer for our prayer request. The second verse I want to share with you, the book of Ezra chapter 9, verse 5 through 7. Ezra, before the book of Kings, and Ezra and Nehemiah, you probably know those book well. Those book has helped us to understand the history of the Israel during the time of exile. Okay, exile during the time of Babylonian come and take them away. And so, I'm sorry, after Kings and Chronicle, and you see Israel here. Now, Israel and Nehemiah are the two great men who came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the wall. Okay? And so, Ezra, please go to verse chapter 9, verse 5 to 7. And where Ezra come back, he saw the Jerusalem, he cried. I mean, just imagine if you build your beautiful home and wars happen and you just run away, and now after 70 years you come back and it's everything is just burned to waste. You cried. You cried your heart out. And Ezra cried, God, what happened? What happened? And when he prayed like this. Okay, Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. At the evening sacrifice I rose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, you know, when you think about torn my garment, robe, that's meaning he cried out. Okay, that's a Hebrew language. You cried out, nothing hold you back. And I fell on my knee and spread out my hand to the Lord, my God. He fell on his knee, his head on the floor, he spread his hand out, and he cried out to God and said, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquity has risen higher than our head, and our guilt have grown up to the heaven. What sin have these people committed? Since the day of our father to this day, we have been very guilty. And for our iniquity, we, our kings and our priests have been delivered into the hand of the king of the land. Remember, he prayed, he didn't pray because they, because the king, because the people. No, he count himself as among of the sinner. Okay, so we pray, we count ourselves among of the sinner. And so here it, and so the king of the land, to the sore captivity, to captivity, to plunder, to humiliation, as to this day. This means the king around, the country around, took the people, took our people away. Verse 8, and now for a little while grace and have been shown to the Lord our God to leave us with remnant to escape, and to give us to a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten to our eyes and give us the measure of revival into the bondage. Okay, I just read the extra, and so Ezra cried out to God. He knelt down and cried out to God, please, please remember our sin. Remember our forefathers that we have sinned against you. We want to come back to you. What was their sin? They start to worship to other God. They want to make themselves just like other country, and they abandon God. They even abandon the temple of God. And so when they abandon God, they say, God, I don't need you anymore. Guess what? God will draw his protection. And when God would draw his protection, guess what? The people around come there and capture them. I wonder, what is spiritual application? Is there any time that God would draw from our church? If we compare with this text, what thing that we might do that God might withdraw from our church? Do we maybe worship other God? Maybe God, quote unquote, is maybe not another idol. Do we see our anything else is higher than God? Our school, our job, our family, our everything. We start to focus on something else instead of focusing on God. And suddenly, God is not in the picture of our life anymore. And we're wondering what happened. Why our life is going down. Why our family broken apart. Why our children run away. We have problem because we start to put God out of the picture. And so Israel has to ask God, please come back. And so here it is. God listened to his prayer. Did God listen? Yes. In 52 days, they're able to rebuild the temple and they start to rebuild the wall. And so because of prayer of one person who knelt down and cried out to God. Another idea that kneel down and pray is the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 4. Ephesians. Now, Paul, going around, and he saw different churches, and he concerned the spiritual life of the church, and he started praying for them. Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14. Now, let me start with understand about verse 14. Let's go. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What the church is like, why Paul have to pray? I mean, when you stand prayer different, but when you kneel down is different. That means something serious about the church. Is the church weak? Is the church not evangelized? Maybe he's not. Let's take a look. Let's go to verse 16. And he would grant you, and so he asked God to grant the church, Ephesian church, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell into the heart through faith that you've been rooted and grounded in what? In love. In love. In other words, the early church, okay, just before the Ephesian church, maybe a couple of decades, they love the people so much, they're willing to bring every money into the table and distribute it to everyone. Well, you know that in the book of Acts. But somehow when Paul visited the Ephesian church, you are lack of love. What happened? What happened? When you first start the church, you're full of love. You do everything, try to build up the church. You will do everything to help the poor. You do everything to help the widow. You do everything. And what happened now? You forgot about it. You let the church run down. They let the poor people beg out on the street. Something about the Ephesian church's lack of love. And so he did nothing but kneel down and cry out to God. And after that, the church turned around. Because one man willing to beg God to help him. Another place, pray for your enemy. It's so important. A lot of time, we don't want to pray for our enemy. A lot of time we ask, whatever they do to us, may God do to them. I have to confess to you. Pastor confess, right? The pastor can confess too. I think my son know it. I got a car accident, and I got a old car, and just it's wrecked, and it's total wreck, and they impound the car, put in the car. Hopefully, guy, you got to learn a little lesson. This is what I learned very late in my life, so I hope you learn early. Anyway, so impound the car, I went to the hospital, I had to take care of a few things, I had to insure, I do everything, you know. I'm sure the people impound the car, they stored the car, and sure, the insurance will pull out, but only pay for liability, not collision. And so the insurance say, this is on your own, you got to pull your car up to you. And so I went to the impound place when they towed the car, and they say, well, you've been here for the last 4 days, and this add up. I said, how much is it up? More than 500. I said, what? You towed the car and you stole 500? It doesn't make sense. And so I go home, and I say, maybe I get my pink slip, and they say, just give them the car. Hopefully, you know, you give them the car, and they will take the car with the pink slip, and they probably sell the junkyard, because I do some fixing on that car anyway, so I'm sure they will take it, we didn't ask any money. Well, I went and got a pink slip, I couldn't find this pink slip, I got to go to the DMV, I got to get license to do all that, took me another 2 days, I come back 7 days, and say, okay, here's the pink slip, can I walk away with this? No, the money went up to $750. He said, what, only 2 days, 750? And here it is, to say, okay, I give you a discount. You pay $350 and give me your pink slip. Oh, no, $375, because you're late yesterday, so you come today, now we went up. And I walk away from that, you know, I just lost my car, and I have to pay them to lose my car. And my mechanic told me, I use a word here. My mechanic said, those guys are evil. They will charge you an arm and leg, and you cannot get around with it. And I drove away, you know. And I drove away, and I say to myself, and I say, Lord, whatever curse I received, may that curse go back to the person who gave me. And that very night, I studied the Bible. I read this very text. I said, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me. Take the curse back if you have not cast a curse upon them. You know, I bought the card, but the card in my son's name. And I proved to them that is my card, insurance, birth certificate, everything. They don't want me to see the card. They don't let me get anything. They can't let me see the card. I would even touch a card. Ridiculous. I learned that many people in the world did not treat you well fairly. They want to rob your money as much as possible, even if you don't have any. And so what I'm trying to share with you, there's things that we have to pray for our enemy. Okay, so this text is helped me to repent. Okay, go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. very sad and moving experience. And I have to read this text to you. It's hurt, but we have to read it. The book of Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And here's talking about Stephen. Stephen did everything to help the community. He helped the poor. He preached the gospel, but people don't want to listen to the gospel. Pull him out of the temple, pull him out from the street, and try to stone him. Verse 59 of chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. In other words, say, Lord, I have paid my dude, I have preached the gospel, I do everything for the people, you can take my life. But that's not enough. Verse 60 is so important. Then he knelt down in his struggle. When people stone him, you know what stone? No, like a pebble throw. You know, this big stub, big rock, they stone him. And he just want to kneel down and cried out. Did he cry out? God save me? No. He cried a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Whatever they do to you, Lord, whatever they do to me, Lord, whatever sin they commit to commit their murder, do not lay this sin upon them. My friend, do you think God forgives the sin of the people who stoned him? Well, we don't know. But I believe the same prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross, do not count this sin toward them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. God, if I'm right, if I think the same line with Moses, okay? Moses cried out, Lord, if you don't save them, just cut my life. And Stephen said, Lord, save them. They've sinned, but there's nothing. Just save them. And so when we pray and kneel down for God to save people, our children, our family, our spouse, somehow this text asks us, we got to kneel and pray and cry out to God. Do not pray shallow prayer. Do not pray only once a Sabbath. Do not pray when you rush to work or rush to go to bed. You got to spend time. Jesus spent time all day in prayer. How many people, I don't want to ask Ray, how many people really spend all day in prayer? I tried for 2 hours, 3 hours, and suddenly I find myself lumbering at 7 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't do it until I commit my life to God. You know, I don't know. We say that we cannot stay up all night to pray. Let me ask you, if your loved one in the hospital in the emergency room, can you sleep? I don't know about you, it's hard to sleep. You're going to wait until what the doctor said, right? You're going to wait every minute. You're going to, I'm sorry, you shouldn't do this, by the way, but some people do it, drink coffee to stay awake, you know, to make sure that the doctor come out and tell you the news, whatever is it, or good news, of course. My friend, when you pray just like you pray for the loved one just about to die, you cannot sleep. And so when you ask God, for the same spirit, you ask God for save someone's life, you cannot fall asleep. Somehow you couldn't, even you try. That's what God asks to seek him. God wants to pour his spirit upon his people more than we want to. And so that's what we saw Stephen have done, that he cried out before his last breath, he asked for people. Ask Jesus to forgive them. Turn with me to the book of First King chapter 18, verses 42. First King, here we're talking about the story of Elijah. Okay, First King chapter 18. Elijah have to face with the prophet of Baal. Okay? and there's 450 prophet worship Baal, and King Ahab, and he's an Israel king, and he bring all these people worship idol into his kingdom, and now only Elijah have to face with them. And now down on the Mount Carmel, and they have to fight on this war and see who is a king that we should worship. Okay? And so here it is. Elijah have to face with these kings, false prophets. And so Elijah said, you know what? If your God will come down, show that you're able to cleanse up this temple. You pray to God, right? And God come up and suck up the fire, and so we know your God is real. But if not, I start to pray to my God. And so anyway, the battle's going on. I don't have time to go and do all this. And so very evening, they cried out to their God, and their God is not showing up. And so now Elijah said, my turn. So when his turn, you know, the fire is, in order to catch a fire of the sacrifice is hard, because that's hard enough. But here Elijah said, you know, pour water on the altar. And so if water on the altar is hard to catch fire, it's difficult, almost impossible. And so it is. After pouring the water, he cried out to God to show who is really the true God. Guess what? God come down, suck all the water away, and fire is coming on. And so here's the story I want to help you understand here. Elijah, after he saw that, what did he do? What did he do? Verse 42 of chapter 18. Chapter 18, or 1 King, verses 42. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down to the underground and put his face between his knees. Two things. He praised God to show that God is a true God. God of Israel is a true God. Okay? He gets one person against, matter of fact, more than 450 is actually 850, because 400 another Baal and other 400 another God. And so 850, just imagine one person against 850 people. It's hard. What about your church here? One church of how many members compared with all the population in this city? That's what we have to face. But Elijah believed, my God is a true God. And he willing to put up a battle. And second thing about prayer, he prayed that God would send rain. And a few verses later, he said, the clouds come over and it's rain. And the whole group of people praising who? Praising God of Israel. So in other words, if you want to see miracle, to show that your God, my God, is a true God, you got to really kneel down and pray. We cannot fight this battle just a simple prayer and just run down and pass out low. You got to pray. You got to kneel down. Okay? And so that's what I learned from that. If we want to win this battle, we really need to seek God for it. Let that my favorite chapter, I mean, favorite books, by the way, the book of Daniel. Let me ask you here in the book of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, remember the king Nebuchadnezzar said that if the wise men in the Babylon kingdom, if you couldn't review my dream and solve my dream, explain my dream, we'll do what? We'll persecute. And Daniel was one of the wise men in Babylon. So his name is on the blacklist. We'll be persecuted. And so what did he do? I don't have time to go through every single verse. Let's go to verse 17 only of chapter 2. Verses 17. And Daniel went to his house and make decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and his companion. Verse 18. And they seek mercy from God of heaven, concerning the secret. That means they cry out to God in prayer. Okay? Yes, this verse does not say kneel down in prayer, but I want to show you that indeed they kneel down and pray. Go with me in the chapter 6 verse of chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. Okay? Chapter 6 verse of Daniel, another king, Darius say, if anyone worship God, okay, if anyone worship God but not me, will be thrown through and fired in. And so when Daniel heard about this, chapter 6, verse 10, what did he do? And now then Daniel knew that the writing of the written assigned it, that's mean the decree was sent out. He went home and his upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knee 3 times a day and pray and give thanks before God, as was his custom since early day. What is early day? The day of Nebuchadnezzar tried to kill him, I kneel down and pray. And I know when I kneel down and pray, God rescued me. I know I'm going to kneel down again. You see a problem? You see the issue here? You see the blessing here? You got to kneel down and ask for help. Now, when a decree of death comes to you, you're not going to take it lightly. Is this a serious? He did not pray that God will take away his enemy. No. He prayed that he could be faithful to God. Faithful to God. Either he die or he'll be alive or not. He asked God to save him, to continue witness to him. And so, that's what you see right there. Many texts, I show you some of the texts about kneeling down. I just want to share with you just the last text. It's so important to me. And go in the book of Luke. Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus kneeled down and prayed? Yes, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, chapter 22 of the book of Luke, verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39. And coming out, he went to the Mount Olive, and this is Thursday night. As he was accustomed, was his custom, and his disciple also follow him. When he come to the place, he said to them, pray that you might not enter into temptation. That's a good lesson. When you, before the nation come, you got to pray. Pray. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw, and he knelt down and prayed. He knelt down and prayed. So when you hear, see, knelt down and pray, when you kneel and pray, it's something significant that you need to pay attention. And saying, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He knelt down. He knew his time has come. That's a cup of death. At this point in time, he lost the connection with the Father. All he saw is just darkness. He knew his death is come, and they say, Lord, this is so important. But it's not my will, but your will. If you will, remove this. But Jesus, at that time, he wanted to take that cup. Because his purpose to come to this world, to take all the death of the world, your and mine, all the sin of the world. And the wage of the sin is death. And so he have called upon God. But that very crucial time, you know why it's crucial? You know why it's crucial? This is, if the most powerful ammunition that Satan can shoot upon Jesus, this is the time. This is the very time that either Jesus win the battle or lose the battle, right? And so Jesus asked, give me the power, give me the strength to go through. I know the devil will do everything. And so when even Jesus lied on the cross, the devil go to the human voice and say, come down if you the king. He is Jesus King. Jesus the King of the world. He can come down, yes. If you, the King, come down, Jesus will come down. But he knows very well the temptation of Satan. And so the world said, oh, if you can come down, that means you're not the King. She got willing to swallow that lie from the devil to win the battle. Whatever anyone say to you, how hurt we will be, remember God's prayer. Pray that you have the strength to face temptation. Pray that you have the strength to win the battle, not for yourself, but for everyone around you. Today, you and I will face the same battle. You believe or not, I don't know. Some people not believe it. Maybe people say, oh, this is bad luck. Oh, maybe it's a bad day. My friend, every day is a battle. I hope you put on your spiritual glasses, that you will see the devil and his enemies all around you. We face a battle every day. And if you and I do not look at Jesus' example, even Jesus himself have to kneel down and beg God for help. Who are we not kneel down and beg God for help? How can you start the year 2020 without the Spirit of God? How can you do that? You face many difficulty, many challenges, more than we know. But be strong. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. The Spirit of God will go with you through this year. The Satan cannot take you down. You got to be strong. You pray, God will listen. Intercede for your loved one. Intercede for your enemy. Intercede for your family. Day and night. I want to close this here. God have called this church to be a beacon to this city and the city around. We just not another church. We are a movement. I don't want to see another church. I don't want to see another church build, another wall, another group of people. I want something different. I want the Spirit of God fall upon us that never like it before. Something about God will use this church to bring the light of the world into the cities and the city around. People walk in darkness. You understand? I don't know how you feel about it. As I walk around the city around, you guys ever walk around? Maybe you don't want to walk around at night here. But if you should walk around, you hear people swearing in the house. And I can imagine husband and wife are cursing each other. I see people run out of the street with a can of beer in the house. I see the kids screaming. Man, I see all the things happen. I say, how in the world is it happening? And I just imagine the devil had put his stronghold on the city. And God called this church to free them. And if we don't, the people will die in Christ's grave. They die without knowing God. I believe God put us here for a reason. And I pray that each one of you to somehow make amend for this year. God, what can I do to build up your church? What can I do to witness hope into this community? What can I do to bring one more soul to thy kingdom? I pray that you think about seriously. I pray that God will use you. Because God started this church to be a successful one. a powerful movement, and he will end this movement powerfully when he comes back. May God bless you all.
Can we all please stand for a closing praise song on Jordan Stormy Banks? Let's continue praying.